Now, why you think this topic is important? What will bring you here today? Why are you coming to this class? What? To save marriage life. What else? What will bring you here? Why do you think you are interested in this topic? Therefore, you want to have knowledge and skills to help you to improve your relationship or to add more to it. What else?
To prepare maybe 2 to 10 years in advance.
MashaAllah. Young people say they want to prepare themselves. Those who are single, they're not married, they want to know what it's all about. Good. Therefore, inshallah, by the way, this is a summary. This cannot be those who attended my 9 sessions classes of marriage, this is a nutshell. This is like a summary of all of this. But I promise, inshallah, on Sunday series that we're planning to do at 10 o'clock or 10:30 every other Sunday here, we're going to address a particular issue of marital relationship or family relationship. One about communication, one about financial planning, one about, for example, the improving the level of understanding of Islam in the family, particular topic, particular skill, and then we move on. But here today, I'm going to address it in general. Now, the objective of this class is to improve the relationship with our spouses or a spouse, and to learn to communicate and to be a model example for our children to follow. Our relationship, it does affect our children and does affect the environment around us. People see the happy spouses, happy parents, and then they follow the footsteps of the parent. Therefore, the interaction between husband and wife very much been watched by our own children. Therefore, we would like our relationship not to only to benefit us, but we would like to have it to exceed that and benefit on all our own children, inshallah. Divorce rate in Muslim community is 33%. 2 years ago, or 3 years ago now, 33%. Very alarming. It still is less than national statistic, which is about 51%. The rate of the divorce in inner city is higher than it in the suburbs. And unfortunately, in some places, people stop, I say that all the time, stop socializing because everyone have married somebody X. You cannot sit and talk because my spouse is your ex and your ex of this. Therefore, you're too familiar with each other, they stop visiting one another. We don't like that. We would like to do something about it as Muslim community. The other thing is that what Muslim offered America? What do we offer United States? I think as Muslim, our contributions has to be in the area of moral standards, family values, and so forth, and we can join hand to hand and alliance with so many people in this country who look forward for a strong family. And is a national, almost become a national debate of the collapse of family in the United States. Therefore, as Muslims, we should set up a model, an example, be like stars. People can look up to us and say we want to follow that examples of Muslims. Marriage also, it is important because it's a subject that Quran dealt with it more than any other subject in human relationship. Quran spoke about parents. Talk about it in 3-4 verses. Just set the standards. But regulating a relationship is more about marriage than anything else. For marriage and divorce and all of these things about saving the family. And I come to know, which I was naive before, that I used to think that why is too much Shaykh Imam Malik talk about nikah and divorce? And you know, sometimes we only are or younger than that, now I have 2 gray, I think, hair. I claim some wisdom a little bit. But when I was younger than that, as some young people, I'm going to advise you, don't show your muscles that you know so many things, that as I used to do. We need to humble ourselves. You know, people were too much talking about Islam and Islamic State and politics. And they used to criticize scholars, says, why is scholars talking much about nikah and talaq? Why there's not much talk about politics? And I come to discover, why is that? And it is true that the social foundation of the society, of a state, of nation, lies in family values. If you have family, good families, you can build a strong foundation. That's why Rasulullah spent a lot of energy in that. Well, that's why Quran have many verses talking about that. But we, because we develop an interest in Islamic economics, Islamic this, Islamic that, we think that this is less important. Therefore, we need to see, if you see what Imam Malik, rahimahullah, for example, dedicated about marriage, Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, and so forth. You see, why so? He was so into family issues. More than any other issue, you come to know the importance of it. That is why I think it is important for us to have this in our radar system, that family is important in our program, in the masajid, in our conventions and conferences, in our bookstores and material, Astrolabe and others. It has to be a literature there that help people to save families. And we should highlight it. Say, we have this much things regarding parents, children, spousal relationship. It has to be a material that provide that wisdom to families. Now, as you see there, I put two things. One of them, the linguistic definition of marriage, and the other is the called the istilah. But when I ask you, who is married here? Who is married? Good. We're going to ask the married people first. Then I'm going to come to you those who are single. Why you think you get married? What happened? You lost your mind? Why did you get married?
To feel a sense of completeness.
Sense of completeness.
Yes.
What? We want companionship.
Start and raise family.
What?
Start and raise a family.
You want to start your own family, you want to raise a family. What else?
Marriage is a sunnah. It's a prophet.
Is the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad to get married? Therefore, you have to fulfill the sunnah to get him married. Okay, good.
The children, you know, you get married to the children for creation.
To have children. Good, to have children. Good. Single people. Why, why you think that, you know, you want to get married? If you're thinking about it, why? You know what it takes? You know what it takes to get married? Naveed, you can speak loudly. Don't talk to yourself. Okay, tell us. Huh? You want to say anything? Okay, I pick up on him because him and I are a friend. Okay, who else wants to say something? Don't say to yourself, I'm going to pick up on you like Naveed did. Either you say it loudly, or yeah. What is that? Why? No? No one?
Another
Another
single people want to get married.
Oh, okay, you don't like to get married. Okay. I don't believe that, but anyway. And of course, all of you have hidden agenda, want to get married. Okay, now, but listen. Let me describe this relationship for you. Okay. Arabic is very interesting language. You know, marriage in Arabic is zawaj. Zawaj. When you are single, you are fard. When you are married, you are pair. That means you move from being a single by yourself to becoming a pair. And called zawjiya in the Arabic language means parity. And being pair is a very interesting word in Arabic. It means those who are alike have common goal. You say zawj shay mithlu. The thing that is zawj of something is that which is alike. Okay? And also, if you look at it from the Quranic perspective, that everything in the universe is zawj. Do you know that? Allah says so. The Quranic view of the universe is a zawji universe. It's not a fardi universe. Allah says so in the Quran, وَمِن كُلِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَا زَوْجَيْنِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْأَزْوَاجَ كُلَّهَا. All praise due to Allah, the one who created all the pairs. And we have created everything in pair. وَمِن كُلِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَا زَوْجَيْنِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. So that he might have reflect or remembrance. فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. Flee to Allah as pair. Look at it as like a bird, and imagine these things, and no animal cruelty, but just want to imagine this. A bird, you take one wing of the bird, you take all the feathers out of it. You make it naked, no feathers. Do you think that bird will fly? That's what happens sometimes, the marriage have no zawjiya. One wing doing like this, and the other wing is not helping. Can you imagine it? فَفِرُّوا إِلَىٰ فِلِي تُوْ أَلَّهِ. Okay? Therefore, زَوْجِيَة meaning functioning as pair. Okay? And that's why sometimes when one wing is not working, you cannot fly. You become, if the wing is there, but it's not functioning. Therefore, marriage is not going to work. You get my point? Okay, therefore this is called zawjiya. Okay. Now, what do you think the definition of marriage is? Don't look to your paper. It's not like an exam thing. This is meant to take home. The paper to remind you, what the definition of marriage? If I ask you to define it, what is it? What is marriage?
A formal relationship.
What?
Formal relationship.
A formal relationship. What else?
Marriage is a contract where two people come together, they must have some love for each other.
It's a contract that bring two people together, they should have love within them.
You must have that love, although love is something that grows, but you must. You must have that type of feelings or
connection. Okay. What is marriage again? It's good. All of you said it's correct. It's correct. What else? What marriage is? From Shari'i perspective, is a contract. Period. Huh? That is a strong word. Oh, by the way, sometimes the ability of defining things in one word. It become more complicated, of course, because you need to, in fiqh, when you study fiqh, you have matn. And then you have hashiya, which is hashiya is the commentary on the text. Then you have hashiya al-hashiya, which is a commentary on the commentary, sometimes because this ulama used to write some difficult language. But it say is a contract. Yes. Marriage is a mutual contract. And a pledge that a man and a woman entered into that contract with understanding to fulfill the condition of the contract based on the teaching of the Quran and the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The definition of it. And that's why Quran al-Kareem call it Mithaq Ghaliz. Mithaq Ghaliz, strong covenant or pledge that husband and wife give to one another. وكيف تأخذونه وقد أفضى بعضكم إلى بعض وأخذنا منكم ميثاقا غليظا. Quran al-Karim says, how comes you take back the dowry that you have given after you have given the strong oath, pledge, in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mithaqan ghaliza. Therefore, it is a mithaq ghaliz that when people enter, and that people have to think it as such. You know, always I make this, it's funny, but it's sad. That people sometimes think marriage is drive-through thing. Las Vegas marriage. They get in the car and it's called drive-through marriages. You know, people might sometimes call you, said, Brother Majid, would you like to get married? I said, when? They said, now, it's 10 o'clock at night. I said, Brother, wait until tomorrow morning. Brother, we cannot do that. We have to get married now. I said, why you cannot do that? How long, been not married? Yeah, what happened now? Just this moment, 10 o'clock, Saturday night, you want to get married. And sometimes they used to tell me, Brother Majid, we want you to get, have us to get married. And please don't say no, 10 o'clock. I said, even if I want to marry you now, 10 o'clock, by the time it reaches maybe 11 o'clock, I said, no, brother, we're in the parking lot of my apartment. When I used to live in an apartment, they come together in the car, want to get married. This fast food marriages is not going to work. People have to be serious about it. Have to know what it takes. It's not in and out, getting married and then get divorced. It have to, people think about it seriously. Therefore, this is my advice to young people. Therefore, marriage is that strong pledge that people give. When they say, I do, you said, I do, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have written that answer that you've given, that pledge you have given. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nisa, Ya ayyuhal nas ittaqu rabbakum, all people, be conscious of your Lord. الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة, the one who created from one soul. وخلق منها زوجها, and created from it its mates. وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء, and he from them, he have created many men and women, scattered men and women. رجالا كثيرا ونساء. واتقوا الله, be aware, be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, الذي تساءلون به. Underline this. In Arabic, means the one that you ask of your mutual rights in his name. تساءلون به, you ask for your mutual rights in his name. تساءلون به والأرحام, and your kinship. إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا, Allah watch over you. Therefore, entering marriage contract with that understanding and reminding ourselves of that pledge, we should make a person what? Think 100 times before ending this relationship. Because it's a mithaq ghaliz people have given. Therefore, this is the, and you know what the word aqd is in Arabic? The word aqd. And that's why Arabic language sometimes is very important, brothers and sisters, to understand this concept. The word aqd in Arabic. What is aqd? What is the Arabic linguistic meaning? Who's Arabic speaking here? Aqd. Uqda is the knot. The knot. But aqd is what? To tie. They call uqdat al-nikah, the knot of the marriage. But in order for it, you have to, the process of it is the aqd. Then after the aqd finish, it become uqda. Uqdat al-nikah, Quran says. Therefore, what you do in marriage, you tie. What happened when divorce takes place? What the word talaq in Arabic, do you know? From talaqa, yatliqu, is to release. Talaq is to release the knot. And aqd is to tie. Okay? Therefore, when people get married, they have done this. Okay? Tied the knot. Yes? What?
You know, in American culture, they say tying the knot.
Yeah, really? In marriage, they say that? Maybe they learned it from us. Okay? Therefore, tying the knot. This is the Arabic word of aqd. Therefore, think about your spouse. and you and your spouse as a knot. You've been tied. Then I would like to talk about the purpose of marriage. Why do you, people said get married for companionship. Some people said you get married for having children, having family, and so forth. I want to take some one or two ayat that I use in my presentation, and I'm quite sure if I use all the verses I use, we will end the session without going to other points that I want to make. Look to what the Quran says. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ar-Rum, ayah 21. You know the ayah? Who is married here that have put an ayah in their wedding card? What the ayah? Jawad, what ayah did you put in your wedding card?
The one is there.
Who have used this ayah in their wedding card? The ayah that you have it in your paper here. Many of you have used it? Okay. If you have used it, tell me what it means. What's the meaning of it? Can you read it, Ya Jawad, for loud voice, what it says?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And among his signs is this, that he created mates for you from among yourselves, that you may dwell in tranquility with them. He has put love and mercy between your hearts. Verily, in that are signs for those who reflect.
Okay, can you give us some insight? What do you think this?
It's very obvious, it's very easy to understand for anyone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created mates for us as a blessing, as rahmah, as love and compassion from Allah, that we can share some of that between ourselves, that we're meant to be together.
Alhamdulillah. That means your spouse is a gift from Allah. Isn't that a new attitude? Can you look to your spouse and say, you are a gift from Allah? You know, rather than, you are a test from Allah. Don't look to your spouse as a test. Look at them as a gift. Let us change our attitude. I think the brother have summed up this very nicely. Okay? As a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, I see Eunice is smiling, inshallah, soon. Yeah, I have to pick up on people. I'm sorry about that. Now, it is important to look over this concept of this ayah and contemplate and reflect on it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ, the first, the marriage is ayah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How would a person like myself or you who are married, who think that you will share a life with someone that you never thought you would be sharing life with, under the same roof, and have children, and have family, and adopt them not only as a family, but the most close person to you. You share everything with them that you have. Isn't that amazing? That is, when you are a kid, your brother and your sister are more important. You know, you're surrounding them. Then you get married, then you share things with your spouse, you don't share it with your brother or sister. You know, as if the example of looking to the mirror, driving a car. You know, some people visible, they can see everything, but your spouse can see what? The blind spot. They look over their shoulder, they can see more than that. Therefore, it is amazing. It's an ayah min ayatillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To have a person be able, and sometimes when I look, my grandfather, rahimahullah, he married to my grandmother for 60 years, her husband and wife, 60 years, 6-0. And subhanAllah, yani you can see when people say grow in marriage, they not have grown. Those people like, you know, when they become like 90, if he blink, his wife knows what he wants. it becomes so familiar with each other. 60 years of marriage. Therefore, it is that rahmah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you have someone who's not biologically related to you. When you are sick, he bathes you, like my grandmother took place care of my father, grandfather, who was there in the hospital, take care of. Yeah, and you can see how people become so attached. Like Ayub alayhi salam and his wife, taking care of him in all the sickness he has. Everyone ran away except the wife. Okay? Therefore, it is the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring that to us as a sign from him. He's the one who can do that. I mean, ayati. An khalaqa lakum, he created for you, azwaja, min anfusikum. He created from among yourself spouses. Another lesson in Arabic language. You know what the word min is in Arabic? Min? From. Li is what? Two. Or four. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, did not say, خَلَقَ لَكُمْ لِأَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. He said, خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. He created from among yourself spouses. What that means, we have to remember that when we get married, people become one in the spiritual sense, in emotional sense. They become nafs wahida, as ayah says. Therefore, whatever hurt the spouse, one of the spouse, the other spouse should feel the pain of it. And that's why one of the scholars said something very interesting, said, wouldn't it be nice if a husband called to his wife, said, oh, my nafs, oh, myself. And said, oh, hey, yeah, you know, oh, my nafs, min anfusikum. Put yourself in other person's shoes. Treat other person the way you want to be treated, as I suggested in the end of this class or the note you have. خَلَقَ لَكُم مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. You know what is zawjiyah? Pair. You become pair. Okay? For when you get married, you become pair. خَلَقَ لَكُم مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. Your pair. Then what is the purpose of it? لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. So that you might have what? Tranquility. And it's Allah who put love and mercy between your heart. Therefore, the purpose of marriage, why you get married, we suppose all of us seeking a peace of mind, to be live in peace. That means each spouse's responsibility is to provide that peace of mind. It's not one way. Each spouse should walk toward that goal of having to provide sakina for the other person. لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. And very interesting is that Allah says He created that pair so that we may seek comfort, tranquility in them. Would you seek comfort in someone who does not provide comfort? Would you seek comfort in someone who would not provide environment of acceptance, of peace? No. Therefore, it is important that the spouse, each one responsibility to provide the comfort. لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. Many things that disturb us in life. And we need in each aspect of it to have peace and tranquility. But sakina is the peak of marriage. It's high level. That you have sakina in everyone, you don't have worries. My need in this side have been met. My need in this aspect have been met. My need in this aspect been met. I met the need of my spouse in this aspect, in this aspect, in this, every aspect. Therefore, she have sakina, I have sakina, period. Therefore, in order for even people to achieve this high level of sakina, is to have love and mercy. Two ingredients. Rahma. How many times that we are not merciful to our spouses? You remember I said that one of the conditions human relationship, you have to have rahma. In every relationship, you have to be kind. And kindness brings love. And every time a person is harsh to someone, love decreases. Goes down. Mercy. Get it up. Therefore, we have to what? Look to the love as a tree. The water of it is mercy. The fruit of it is tranquility. You like this analogy? You think of it again? What did I say? Love is what? A tree. Watered with mercy, the fruit of it is tranquility. As long you provide mercy, as long you treat each other with kindness, this tree of love becomes strong. And the fruit of it always become what? It bears good fruit of tranquility, sakina. Therefore, I would like as Muslims to think of it that such. And remember, there's something that Imam Ghazali said very interesting. He said, Islam is not a dry religion. It's not dry. Islam is a religion that brings all things connected together and connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ar-Rahimuna yarhamuhum Allah. Those who bestowed mercy, give mercy to people, Allah bestowed mercy upon them. And if a person wants to connect it with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, want his ultimate mercy, that person have to show mercy and kindness, not dryness. And that's why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam set up that example. Rasul sallam come home, he bring just an ocean of mercy, of rahmah. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said he is a mercy to all humanity, rahmah lil alameen, imagine when Rasulullah focuses a little bit on his family, which is more important, how much dose of rahmah they're getting. A big dose, isn't it? Because his rahmah can take all of us under the wing of the prophethood, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, when he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have his family close to him, how much Aisha, Khadija, radiallahu anhum, and Fatima alayhi salam get of rahmah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rahmah everywhere. Therefore, this is our modern examples. And believe me, when we take Islam as the set of laws and we took the spirit out of it, we get in trouble. We become people with no passion, no feelings. You want to see a Muslim that when you look at him, says, Subhanallah, ya akhi, what a nice person to be with. Kind, nice, and gentle. That's, you know, dryness. It's not a good thing for a Muslim to have. Gentleness, it is the Muslim attitude. And it has to be more with family, with the spouse. Therefore, rahmah. That's, as we experience gentleness and rahmah, then we're going to experience love. Those who have heard me before in marriages classes, in weddings, and so forth, they heard me saying that there's a misconception of love being presented by Hollywood and also by Egyptian movie and Indian movie. Okay, all of them in the same boat. Okay, so also that Hollywood doesn't get upset. We have Hollywood of our own, an Asian Hollywood and the Arab Hollywood. The capital of the Hollywood of Arabs is Cairo and India, and then you have Hollywood in Los Angeles here. Therefore, it is important that is the misunderstanding, misconceptions of love that young people now understood in high school. You know what high school people do think about love? You go to a middle school, first year in high school, your biological clock says, I'm talking about females, biological clock saying. Then the first person walking in that class, wearing maybe tied and so forth, said, oh, I'm in love. It is not, that's a loss. This is the whims. This is not love, because that's what it is. And guess what? Girls buy that. He saw her the first time, said, I love you, and so forth, and she believed it. This is not, because when you want men, that's why I'm telling young ladies, don't fall into that. You know, that's nonsense. You have to think always of a serious relationship that is no one can get you into trouble, okay? Because men know how to speak sweet and soft. They know what they want, huh? They know how to get it. Therefore, it is important that to think about love is commitment. It's commitment, and that's what it is. And those who are married can tell you that. Many times you get upset with your spouse. I've been doing counseling for years. But that doesn't mean you're gonna leave them. Am I correct? Because you made a commitment. Therefore, there are three types of love. Love of the first initial attractions, that they call it It's not real love. It's the feeling. They call it in America chemistry. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam call it what? يُؤْدَمُ بَيْنَكُمَا. The man said from Ansar, said, oh Rasulullah, I get engaged to a lady. He said, have you seen her? He said, no. He said, go and see her. لَعَلَّهُ يُؤْدَمُ بَيْنَكُمَا. So that he might have more connection. لَأَنَّ فِي عُلُونَ الْأَنْصَارِ شَيْءٍ. He might not like the way she looks. He want more, have this feeling. That's the initial one. The second one is the feeling of a friendship. Love of friendship. When a person, husband and wife, they establish it friendship. They become trusting each other, talking to one another. And there's a love of commitment, loyalty to the marriage. The worst time of marriage, people imagine the marriage in trouble like a ship in high waves. What people do is sometimes when they are really in a ship that have high waves and it might go down, what do people start thinking? Jump ship. What?
Jump ship.
Jump ship, but before they do that, what, they start panicking, huh?
Life jacket.
What?
Life jacket.
Life jacket, good. And what else? What? Okay, go to high level of ship.
Security.
The point is that they want to save themselves sometimes. And sometimes they think of the most important thing in order to save yourself, you want to save what? Before you jump the ship. The most important safety is to save the ship itself. If high waves, if you jump the ship before you think in saving the ship, that you are taking more risk. Therefore, the concentration is supposed to be what? In commitment, says one. Therefore, people in the ship get together, says, what can we do to save the ship? You know what Rasulullah said? Imagine a ship has two decks, one upper and one lower. People in the lower part, maybe the wife or the husband, want to dig a hole. Said, it's better to have water this way. If the other allow them to dig the hole in the ship would sink, and both of them drown. Therefore, there's a love of commitment. Okay, now, the other things.
I have a quick question. What's the timeline of this?
Timeline of what?
Like, compared to actual marriage, like, commitment comes after nikah, right? And then, what about the friendship and the feeling?
The friendship and the feelings, when you get married, then you experience that.
So this is all after, right?
All after. You see, now the real question of the young people coming. I love that. I'm the right target. If I have get people to ask questions, that means I have made them to think about something. Okay, now the other things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that marriage is about two families, and this is another sessions of the families and extended family. When you get married, you are not married by yourself, but you're being two families together. And that's very important, to think about marriage is something that you're gonna expand human relations. You remember the human relation we talked about the first time? You're gonna have sister-in-law, mother-in-law. If you have even stepchildren, people who married with children, then you have relationship with the stepchildren. You're creating a bigger family. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, also the third ayah, that is, هُنَّ لِبَاسٌ لَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لِبَاسٌ لَهُنَّ. Allah says, why do people get married? The other purpose of marriage is that you have this garment, to have someone provide warmth to you and comfort, and think of it as clothes. And always have this analogy. What do you do when you shop for clothes? What do you look for?
Good quality.
Yes. What? Make sure that is something going to fit you.
You try it on to do that?
I'm just joking.
This is out of control here. With the exception of that. Yes. What?
Style.
If you like the style. It's affordable. You know, sometimes it can be high dowry. You cannot afford that. Affordable. Okay, what else? Yes.
It looks nice.
Okay. What?
Warmth.
Warmth. You have to buy it for the right season also? Good. That means when you are about to get married, you have to know what you get into. And you have to treat your spouse as a garment. Three things to remember about it, okay? Every time you want to buy a garment or clothes, you have to know the materials of the garment. That knowing the personality. In order for you to treat the garment, you have to read the labels. If it says dry clean, don't put it in the washing machine. Okay? Therefore, you have to get to know the person and to marry the person that's compatible. One. Two, that you have to be proud of whom you marry that. You want to wear the garment, you want to clothes that represent you. Three, that you have to have comfort, that this, we have to be the garment for our spouse, must be comfort to us. And also, we have to cover our shortcoming, the shortcoming of a spouse, as the clothes does for us. And as we come to want to save the clothes that we like, we really take care of it, take it dry clean, we make sure that is put it in the nice place and so forth, so that we don't what? Don't ruin it. We do not destroy our own clothes. And when you want to also clean it, because marriage, during marriage time, you're going to have ups and downs. Therefore, marriage can be stained, you know? But you have gently to clean it with a proper detergent. If you put the wrong detergent in the clothes, it's ruining it. I mean, if you're subject to high heat, you shrink it. Therefore, it is important that how to treat the garment. And that's a whole session. I'm just going very quickly because I used to do that for a long time. Now, people also do get married because of ihsan. And I'm going to tell the young people here, the only way to have a relationship with the opposite gender is marriage. No other way. Islam, period. Therefore, you have two options, either get married younger, if your parents approve of that, or you what? You fast and be patient. Period. You have to abstain until you get married. Period. And that's what the hadith of Rasulullah said. Therefore, marriage is meant to do ihsan with all the fitna. And I'm going to tell you something, that when people get married, sometimes because they come from this society that idealizes physical appearance. You walk into Subway, Giant, magazines, all ladies, front of you, wearing half clothed. TV, advertisement, women there wearing this. Therefore, the picture of the young people, of ideal spouse, is a model. You know, that's what it is. Shouldn't have that. I think that's the wrong way, wrong perceptions. A standard of beauty. Don't get fooled by that, young people. Marriage more into it than just a look. Okay? Therefore, have that in mind. Okay? Now, you have the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam already before you here. Now, very quickly, so that I will be able to at least to cover things, yeah. Marriage is based on certain elements. And we have to remember those elements. The first element is element of iman and taqwa. You remember I said no dryness in the religion of Islam? And that's how those mashayikh. You know something very interesting about Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jailani in his method of teaching his students. He will question or look to their behavior in order for them to be either closer student or far students. Not about how much you memorize. He was the sheikh of disciplines. Therefore, have a person, and by the way, for those who I think not good about Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jailani, even Ibn Taymiyyah and other scholars say he's a good man. Okay? So that just to clear the record. He's one of the great mashayikh, Sheikh Abdul Qadir. He will have his student being checked by how much that person is behaving. If the person, for example, have a bad relationship with his family, He will not make him a teacher of the others. He will yu'akhiruhu, because he doesn't want him to set up the example. Therefore, it is connected. It's very important that to connect the behavior and the understanding with the disciplines and the connection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, iman, taqwa. Brothers and sisters, how long do you think we're going to live in this life? Everyone sitting in this room, 100 years will be gone, more likely. Even if you are 5 years old sitting in this classroom. There's a big court. There's akhirat, life to come. And whatever we do here, it has to have a connection with life to come. Our marriage life, our parental relationship, we have to think about this taqwa, piety, righteousness. And that's what is the unique about Islam. There's something beyond this physical appearance and this physical life you see. It's called life to come, akhirah. Therefore, I want all of us to have it in that perspective. The patience you may have, the overlook of the mistake of your spouse, all of this, nothing goes without compensations, period. Trust me, brothers and sisters, I say this because Allah says so. Nothing goes in this life without compensation. Whatever you think that you don't have, if you thank Allah for what you have and being grateful and be patient, you're going to have a compensation in life to come. Therefore, taqwa, righteousness, is a foundation of relationship. And that's why Allah repeated in one verse 3 times. النَّاسِ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا. Raqaba, been watching over you, also is piety and righteousness. Therefore, we have to have that taqwa. Before, you remember that I said the principle of human relationship? Before we do anything, we have to think Allah watch over us. Allah sees every part of our house, whether it's apartment, whether it's a house. Allah sees every action we do. Therefore, taqwa, piety, righteousness, it is the foundation of this relationship, connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wouldn't it be nice if we in Adam Center here, we have a theme of, you know, spread righteousness and taqwa in the community, just having us to remind each other of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we remind each other in the connection of relationship, how we treat our spouses and our children based on this formula of taqwa and righteousness. And have a community being a community of righteousness, of taqwa and piety. It would be interesting if we spread that in the community and that feeling of connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, taqwa is the first element of it. And that's why if a spouse wronged their spouse, they have to know that will be in our book in Day of Judgment. We want a relationship that take us to Jannah, take us to paradise, the ultimate goal, where the ultimate comfort, an absolute comfort. Therefore, this is the importance of it, taqwa and righteousness, piety. We have to understand what Islam asks of us. Many of us, we don't know our duty and obligation according to Islam. As husband and wives, we have to have that. The second elements of this successful marriage is communication. And as I said, each session, I used to have 1 hour, Brother Yasser know that, 1.5 hours or 2 hours in them, but we've gone very quickly over those. Because we used to experience techniques to increase taqwa and piety and righteousness. And inshallah, we will do that. And I promise in those other, every other Sunday at the Adam Center here. Communication. Many of us, we don't know how to talk even to one another. We have this problem. You know, they have a joke. They say in the beginning of the marriage, husband talk, wife listen. You have that, heard that? Then as things go further, then the wife talks and husband listen. Sometimes it started with the wife, by the way. And the third point, that husband and wife talk and the neighbors listen. What's that? No one is listening. Okay? The whole is a problem of communication. What is our model? Who is our model? Examples. Who? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today I was saying, who were in my khutbah today at restroom? I was saying that, you know, we do ourselves a lot of disservice and misunderstanding of Islam if we don't study the life of Rasulullah. If you want to have a model, you have to know what the model is about. For we need to be connected. Loving Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the part of aqidah of Islam. If you don't love him, you're not true Muslim. You must love Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. More than yourself even. For we have to look to his model and example. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was an excellent communicator. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to repeat himself. They say, until the person understands what he's saying. Although he is very eloquent, he leaves no room for misunderstanding. And I need to learn that myself. Because sometimes I say something, people misunderstand it most of the time. And he was an excellent listener. He listens. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about him, people even questioned, said, how comes he listen? Everyone come to him, he listened to them. قَالُوا هُوَ أُذُنُ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah At-Tawbah قَالْ قُلْ هُوَ أُذُنُ خَيْرٌ He has good ear. He listens for what is good. For he has that of sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ability of listening to people and understanding. Yeah. And one of his ways of communication, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he gives the person full attention. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, never spoke to someone with their back, his back into someone. Never did. If somebody said, oh Muhammad, or oh Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never used to do this. He will never turn his head. What he does, who knows the hadith? وَكَانَ إِذَا الْتَفَتَ الْتَفَتَ جَمِيعًا When he used to look to somebody, look with all his body. Not like that. Yes, what you're saying? No. وَكَانِ إِذَا الْتَفَتَ الْتَفَتَ جَمِيعًا صلى الله عليه وسلم. الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم, even as he speak, that he has this facial expressions. But most of the time, صلى الله عليه وسلم is what? Smiling. Again, what's wrong with us when we become religious? You have a very nice young man who was cheerful, fun, start coming to the masjid, you know, have a big miswak now and so forth, and start immediately frowning in your face. What's wrong? Why, yeah, you become so frowning and so angry with life? What is it? Look to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ya akhi. Or ya ukhti. Maybe some sister frown. I don't have that experience that much, but maybe people also start doing that because we feel the religiosity is being tough, being harsh. Therefore, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to part of the communication, will make his muhaddith. He make the person who's speaking to him feeling comfortable. Now, four things I want to remind of the communications. The most dangerous things in communication, when husband and wife don't express their expectation. You have to tell your wife, your husband, what to expect of them. They cannot assume. And the brother helped me with a very nice presentation when we were doing that of communications. One of it says that don't be mind reader. Don't read people's mind. You cannot put someone in a position that said, I have to know what's going on in my head. I don't have wahi. You have to tell me how you feel. One of the things we say as husband and wife, if when you communicate, express feeling, not judgment. You know what that means? A person said to the person, I believe you are doing this to wrong me. That passing judgment. I believe you are this. When you say this, the person say what? Attacking. You immediately make a person have to defend themselves. That's why most of the time we fail to communicate, because we point fingers. And when you do this, my model does have, when my counseling before, how many fingers toward you? How many fingers? Three. Doing like this? You say you, the three is in you. More than one, 3-1. Therefore, we need to see, what am I doing? Therefore, good communication, don't pass judgment. Express feeling. Be specific about your feeling. Say, I feel this way because of this. And if there's something that have caused that feeling, identify what the cause of the feeling, and then the feeling. He said, because of you not showing up on time, I feel being neglected. So that husband and wife, they know exactly what the other person feels. You know what the other person should do? The receiver should feedback, should respond to the feeling. Otherwise, you are not a kind person. You're not Rahim. If somebody said, I'm suffering, said, I don't know why you're suffering. You shouldn't be suffering. I'm sad. I don't know why you're sad. You shouldn't be sad. Do not delegitimize feeling. It's not correct. You don't say, person, don't feel sad. No, you shouldn't feel sad. You shouldn't feel sad. That means you're telling them, dismiss your feeling. And that's not correct. He said, can I know why you're feeling sad? What can I do to make you feel better? Therefore, this is just a summary of communication. Inshallah, we'll do a whole session in communication, I promise, on Sunday. Of course, communication helps to resolve conflict in family, help people to make the right decisions, husband and wife, help them to raise good children, because they're going to talk about the method of raising children. I'm going to stop here, because I think in 2 minutes they're going to call adhan, isn't it? So that you can, if you have not wudu, you have to be ready, and we don't have limited facilities here. Therefore, inshallah, we'll come back, and I have still more points to make, inshallah, in the presentation before we conclude it, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum. There's so many issues in communication I have not touched on. It requires 2 hours of session to speak about this elements here of communication. Actually, there's some books been written in regarding communications, in marital communications, or communication in marriage, because it's a such important area that they cannot be overemphasized. Now, I will get to the third, fulfilling Islamic obligations. Islam is a religion that have put everything in the clear print in regarding human relationship. Therefore, in marital relationship, there's obligations, and there what? Responsibility and rights, mutual rights and mutual obligations. Golden rule, do not ask for your rights before you fulfill your obligations. Fulfill your own obligation first, then ask for your rights. But do not violate other people's rights because someone has violated your rights. It's not acceptable in Islam. You fulfill your rights no matter what. Therefore, as much as you can, you fulfill your rights. But the other person have to fulfill their also their obligations. And you know what the obligations of husband in Islam, what's the obligation of wife in Islam, and what's the obligations of extended family as well. The mother of the groom, the mother of the bride, the mother of the husband, the mother of the wife. The most important Islamic obligations for husband and wife is to treat each other with kindness. This is an obligation. It's a must. It has to be there. And ulama says this is the most important right a husband and wife have, to be treated gently, kindly, with kindness. And that's why some ulama says this mithaq ghaliz, the strong pledge you give, is part of it is implies that you promise to treat person with ma'ruf, with kindness. Therefore, number one, any treatment that undermines that principle is a violation of this obligations. Person have not fulfilled obligation to their spouse. The other thing is that the spouse, they have to provide the environment to their husband or wife in which they feel being loved, being treated with respect, and also environment where the person feel that being protected. Being protected. Protection, it is a mutual obligations of husband and wife. Husband was asked to protect his wife in the term of financial issues, in terms of physical protections, in terms of the spiritual protections. And the wife was asked to protect her husband spiritually, to protect his property, and to protect him emotionally as well as he does. Therefore, there is a mutual obligation of protections. What they call it in Arabic, hisn. You know what hisn is? When you get married, you become what? Muhsan. You know what hisn in English? The fort. You know what fort is? In war? Where people being protected? When you get married, you become muhsan. Like being shield. You know, like shield. You know, being sheltered. Being protected from heat, from cold, from all other things. And that's what the word second is, from maskan, from home, house. Therefore, it is Islamic obligations. And husband and wife have to know that. Obligation toward extended family. The wise husband or wife, the one who strike balance between maintaining a good relationship with their parents and the relationship with their spouse. Fulfilling the obligation of their mothers and fathers and obligation of their husband and wife and or and children. The fourth, still also I just want quickly over this. There's more into it than what I just said. Building trust, emotional trust. What emotional trust? Husband and wife, when you get married, you took a risk. And when we get married, you take a risk. Do you know that? There's nothing in life you don't do, it's not include risk. Everything, you drive your car in the morning going to work, risk. You walk to your office, include risk. You get in the business, include risk. You get married, include risk. What the risk? Is there the risk, rahmakallah, ya akhi, the risk you make yourself vulnerable. You said to your husband, your wife, this is who I am. I'm giving you myself. I'm trusting you as my feeling. If that feeling being crushed, you do what? You get hurt because you make yourself vulnerable. Therefore, husband and wife, they have to be trustworthy of that vulnerability that the person put themselves in. Therefore, violating emotional trust creates distance. A person trusts a person one time with their feeling, they get hurt. They trust them the second time, they get hurt. The third time, the fourth time, they go to what? Shut down. You shield. You don't like to do it anymore. They become what? You create walls, fences. And that's why people sometimes they cannot connect emotionally because one of them being hurt so many times. There's a financial trust, of course. There's another issue that we talk about, inshallah, when we talk about financial, that people have when they get married, I should not think that, or you should not think, all of us, that our spouses, husband or wife, are there to get our money or to get us and so forth. But at the same time, we should not present a behavior that we're greedy. You know, that make a person think you are only marrying me for my money. Therefore, and husband and wife, they should not violate the trust of property or money. Honor a marital relationship. Unfortunately, among Muslims also there's what issue of infidelity, where people starting speaking to other people or telling, doing something in the back of the wife, especially male do that, you know, and the wife discovered later that he has an affair. In Islam, there's a great punishment of adultery. It's a very serious business. Therefore, and how people get lose trust in that? Husband have an email account my wife doesn't know about, his wife or a wife has an email, and said, oh, you have an email that you have a new address? Why is that? No, it's not your business. You know. Therefore, he gets suspicious. You know? Or a husband have two cell phones. Alhamdulillah, I have one cell phone. You know, have two cell phones, one of them, the wife doesn't know the number, and he only, you know, to discover that a bill's come to the home, and he have a cell phone that never told her off. Or husband says that I have a meeting. And the wife discovered that where they said he has a meeting, he didn't show up. And he come back and said they had the meeting. All kind of things that create mistrust between husband and wife. And in Islam, we have to believe that we have to know. When a person get married, that person being entrusted with other person's feeling, that person have made a pledge before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be honest, and that person have made trust before a pledge before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will not betray their spouse. Okay, there's more into it, as I said also. There's so many things that cause the trust to go away. There's so many things can have the trust to be strengthened and be strong. Mutual respect and mercy. Husband and wife, sometimes they take each other for granted. Therefore, disrespect, it becomes sometimes a normal behavior. Disregarding anything a person said, speaking harsh words to one another, and so forth, and that take love away. You know, you see the vacuum machine? When you do vacuum, what do? You suck the dust. Sometimes you suck all the love, you take it all the way, you make vacuumed. You take it away by mistreating the other person, okay? You drain them from love because we're not being merciful. Therefore, we have to speak righteously, kind words, no cursing, no abusive language, no physical abuse. No emotional abuse. If you do this, I'm going to divorce you. If you do this, I'm not going to sleep with you. If you do this, I'm not going to be nice to you. If you do this, all kind of threats. Their sister, they have their own threats. The brother, they have their own threats. And all of them, they use their ways of this violating, you know, the other person's rights or their feeling. In marriage is stressful sometimes. Isn't it? Those who are married, that it gets stressed over things because life is not easy. Marriage is not only just being with a spouse, but that spouse have a roof above their head. You got worried about rent, you get worried about bills, you get worried about money issues, you worry about jobs, about war in Iraq, you get worried about so many things. You get sometimes stressed, and the wise couple is they know how to manage their stress and not have it overlap their relationship. And all of us sometimes we fail in managing our own stress and we bring that stress to our marriage. Anger management. Many marriages collapse or people don't know how to control their temper. Their anger just uncontrollable. Abuse is being used as an excuse to get the anger out. person will not come down unless he or she shouted the top of their lungs. All the neighbors and everyone to have to hear it. And then a person have to come down after all the damage had been done. Or sometimes they go beyond that and start doing what? Physical things. Therefore, if you want to get married, you have to know to control those two. Your temper and to think before you act. And I'm going to tell you something, that the environment was a lot of tensions. Children get affected too. A lot of shouting, a lot of screaming. You have to understand the children as human beings. They are not an object in that house. You move them around here and you shout as if they don't exist. You shout, their heart goes like this. Because they had father and mother screaming in each other. They get frightening, they get scared. They have a very distorted picture about marriage. When they get married themselves, they don't know what to trust their husband or to not to trust their wife. They don't know how to treat a wife. They don't know how to treat a husband. Because whatever I heard in the house was shouting and screaming and cursing. But we have to be careful of that. Six. Of course, there's a whole issue. We talked about anger management. Go to our series from the beginning, you remember? We talked about anger management. There's a whole, go to your note about anger management. Physical relationship and intimacy. There's three levels of intimacy. The first one is spiritual intimacy. Husband and wife, they have at least to pray one prayer together. If not a prayer, there's something nephil. Because spiritual intimacy is important. And those who pray together stay together. You heard that slogan? Yeah. Pray together, stay together. But you need to pray really, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you to be a better spouse. Don't make dua against your spouse in your salah. You're praying together, but everyone making dua against the other. You have to always to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bestow the mercy and the blessing into the relationship. And you know what? No matter what we think we can do, we are limited. Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have the infinite power to change heart. It's infinite and absolute power to bring people together. For you need to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People also have to remember part of this marital relationship, ability of being able to communicate nonverbal communications. Intimacy also about just being together, sitting together, eating together. Rasulullah used to sit and listen, those people getting married, I'm not going to call names to embarrass anyone anymore. Not in the end of the class or the front me. I'm not going to do that. That Rasulullah used to take a bite of food and take some of it in his mouth or give the rest to Aisha, or let Aisha take the first bite and take the rest in his mouth. This is the sunnah. People talking about romance, French romance and English romance. And what is this nonsense? Do the sunnah thing. As sunnah is sufficient. You know? Therefore, he gave her the bite of the food, the rest in his mouth, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he come home, say, oh Aisha, I'm tired. He doesn't say, okay, I'm going to close the room. No, interruption, no noise. It's only one room, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has. The living room, Mustafa, and the dining table, and everything is in the same place. Therefore, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes home, Aisha be sitting, radiallahu anha, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his head on her laps, taking a nap. Imagine that. You're talking about really intimacy and romance from English literature and from all kind of Hollywood movies. You need to look to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam life. Not only that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he used to pray at night, tahajjud, Aisha will be sleeping next to him. He's standing up at night. There's no special room for prayer. Sometimes in our home, the prayer has to be separate from the bedroom and the other thing. We believe in what? In America, they believe in partitionship, to partition things. Everything has to be partitioned. We partition ourselves, work, family, stomach, We are not a whole thumb. We are partitioned. And therefore, when you go to work, you took this hand. Then you are the husband, another hand. And sometimes we contradict. You know, there's a book called Mr. Hyde and Mr. What? Does the man have two personalities? What? Dr. Jack and Dr. Hyde. Dr. Jack is them? Jacko and Hyde. You see, I'm learning from you. It's fun that sometimes to laugh in class. Good. Jack and Hyde. Therefore, sometimes Mr. Jack and Jack, when you go to work, you are always this smiley, a nice man, because that's how to do business. You have to be really PR things. They call it PR. You have to be good to your boss and nice. But home, you take it for granted. Where's she gonna go? Scream at her? She's gonna stay at home. Shouting at him? Where are you gonna go? You know, therefore, nice to everyone, but bad to our spouses. Or a person that is, you know, in the masjid is different than being in the home. In Islam, we have to be, we try to connect things together. Okay, it's very important. Therefore, it is the kindness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He the best to his family. When he come home, he's more cheerful. But he smiled to everybody. He smiled to his companions, but he smiled more to his spouse and children. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kind to everybody, but more kind to his family. More generous for everybody, more generous with his spouse. Okay? Therefore, that's what Rasulullah sallam used to do. Therefore, we need that kind of, you know, talking about intimacy. Therefore, I think that people have to think about this kind of connection with their spouse in that regard. Of course, I put some points here for discussions on the Sunday session. Role of in-laws. In-laws can be a disaster or can be a mercy. But in Islam, they have to be the teaching of it. That is, in-laws are part of your family. When you get married, you have in-laws. You have to be kind to them. You know what happened? If a husband sit before his wife and say, your mother is bad lady, your father is bad lady, whatever it is, and start cursing the whole family and calling their names, what do you think that person will say? You expecting someone to curse someone's family and somebody said, oh, you're right. They're gonna hate you. Absolutely. Therefore, sometimes we insist in insulting the other person's family. It's not your business if whatever they do, get out of it. Okay? Maintain ma'ruf relationship with them. Kind relationship with them. Okay? Therefore, as I said before, husband responsibility not to allow his mother to mistreat his wife, not to allow his wife to mistreat his mother. And vice versa for both of them. Strike a balance. And create the environment of love in that regard. Okay? Social life. Sometimes a social life can be also elements of having people go apart because they develop a social life that is not spousal. It's not both of them think of it together. Husband have his friends, the wife had her friends. And I was discussing with one of the brothers, I think Brother Nassim, who said that maybe some couples here in this Adam Center need to identify one another and have our children play together and meet together and so forth to create an environment of social life that is be helpful in maintaining a good relationship. Those who are single, you don't have to raise your hand again. You don't embarrass him anymore, okay? I've been beating on him so many times. But it is important that to think of your social life to change, have to change your social life to what? To meet your spouse, what? Need also. What I mean by that, if people completely live in isolation in the social life, what happened? The husband sometimes spend all night with his friends and the wife alone in the house, or the wife goes all the times with friends and husband. You need to develop a social life where people can go together, visit people, talk to people, have people to visit them. Develop that kind of social life. That doesn't mean you don't have a friend of your own. I'm not saying that. You can have a friend of your own, but the friendship that you start with yourself or alone should not become more important than the social life that you develop together. Okay? Belong to a community. Very important. Because as Muslims, it's easy to go astray when you're by yourself, even as a family. Some families come too late to the masjid. After the children go astray, then they're looking for a community. You need to start from the early time. Vacation. I think you should take vacation. Don't you agree? Who disagree? Vacation time. As family. And by the way, the best time you spend with your family because you get what? Especially when you're away from your work, away from Adams, you know, and away from the company. And if you drive in one car, you get to talk to the children, you got to talk to families and so forth. When you go to other places, you get to visit families and so forth. Therefore, it's good to have vacation. And I did enjoy my vacation with my family, alhamdulillah, when I visit my hometown, Sudan. Private time, husband and wife. Sometimes, husband and wife need to be alone. Let someone watch the children and need to be alone. The issue of money. If you are not married, think about it. Don't first overspend now when you're single, because you're going to suffer when you're married. You have to pay the bills of now and of later. Therefore, if you get the biggest car that you have to pay $700 payment of it, that will be a bill in the marriage bill. Therefore, you're going to be like 1,300 rand and 700 the car bill. Only 2,000 has gone. You have to make more than that to maintain a wife or a marriage. Therefore, think about it. Whatever financial commitment you're going to make now, you're going to hunt you later. Be careful. For us as married people, we have to live with our means. We should not try to live before our means, more than our means. And we should not try to impress anyone. We don't have to buy the most expensive furniture to impress my in-laws, even if my, you know, or be going to debt. Live a simple life, believe me, you sleep peacefully. Spend with your means, don't care about what people say. The minute you concern about other people get onto debts because of other people, we get in trouble. We cannot sleep at night because we know there's so many debts. Therefore, we need to have that in our mind. Okay? Of course, there's more into it, financial planning and other things like writing a will and so forth. We'll talk about that some other time, inshallah. But I'm talking about issues that of concerns. People get fight over money. Sometimes either people too stingy or too what? Musrifin. Overspending. Husbands want to spend all the money of the world, or the wife wants to spend all the money, or the husband being stingy don't want to give the money, and that's why people fight over. And you should not lose your marriage over money, by the way. Teaching of Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I want to remind you that Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was that man who said the model of the ideal spouse. He said, "Khayrukum khayrukum li ahli." The best among you, they're the best to their family. I'm the best to my family. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Khayrukum khayrukum li ahli." And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he used to come home, bring happiness. You know, sometimes you have spouses, a husband enter the house. The minute they enter the house, people say, "Oh my goodness, he is home." لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. Nagging. Or the husband driving his car says, "I have very good time talking to my brothers today. I have good time. But I'm going to go now to a house, you know, a piece of what? You know, fire. When I go in, somebody going to jump on me, shout at me, and so forth. Going to question." Therefore, you don't want to create that environment, a peaceful environment. Then Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in order to soften his wife Aisha radiallahu anha, heart all the times, he called her with beautiful names. Ya Aisha, Ya Bint Sadiq, Ya Humaira, beautiful things. The example of Khadija radiallahu anha. to my sister here. Khadija radiallahu anha provided the environment of comfort to Rasulullah in every way possible you can imagine. And she gave him all her money too. She said that, you know, Islam said my money is for me and your money for you. Islam said that, true. But people think that that means if you see your husband, you know, you're going to be evicted. No, you cannot touch my money. You know, I spoke to Brother Majid, said the money is for the wife. No, Brother Majid didn't mean that, by the way. I meant that rahmah and mercy. Because sometimes get to that people's mind. They become so, you know, black and white. My money, I don't care, you know. Khadija radiallahu anha, she helped Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a more difficult time. And she even stayed with him in the difficult time with a boycott. No socializing, no retreat with Mecca. She never said, I'm going to divorce you. I used to be a very wealthy lady, more important. No, radiallahu anha. That's why they call Khadija al-Kubra. Khadija radiallahu anha, she contributed to Islam a great contribution because she was the best spouse to our the best prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore, Rasulullah used to even mention her even after her death. Always talk good, positive of Khadija radiallahu anha. Remember what I said of human relations? If a friend of Khadija radiallahu anha knocked the door, Rasulullah got excited. He know the knock. The knocking of the friend of Khadija radiallahu anha said, "Hadi sahibatu Khadija." This is a friend of Khadija radiallahu anha. He used to also get gifts, meats and so forth, give it to friends of Khadija radiallahu anha. Now, to conclude, so that I don't make it long, I want you to remember. Treat your spouse the way you want to be treated. Golden rule. You don't like to be shout at, don't shout at other people. If you don't like to be abused, don't abuse others. If you want to be comforted physically and mentally, comfort the other person physically and mentally and emotionally. Therefore, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala watch over you, over us. Allah sees what we're doing here. Allah sees us in our homes. Everything being watched. Every time we curse our spouse, we say bad words, be written. Every time we say nice word, said, I love you. And people think that if you tell your spouse, I love you, as if it's something haram. Especially sometimes people come from different culture. You never see somebody say, I love you. Brother, I never told my wife, I'm not talking about myself. But someone tell me, I never tell my wife, I love you. Why should I tell her that? Rasulullah told other people that he loved his wife, publicly. Amr ibn al-As, radiallahu anhu, came to Rasulullah, said, Ya Rasulullah. Rasulullah sent Amr ibn al-As to a mission. He sent him to do something. And Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu thought that he's the most beloved man to Rasulullah. He said, he came to him and said, Ya Rasulullah, who is the most beloved person to you? He expected them to say, you, Amr ibn al-As. He overread it, as you call. Rasulullah said what? The Sahaba was sitting. He said, Aisha. He said, Aisha is the most beloved person to me. He said, oh, Rasulullah, I didn't mean that from the men, not from the women. He said, Fa'abuha, her father. I love him more. He said, and who else? He said, Umar. Amr ibn al-As, wait. He said, who else? He said, Bal Uthman. Who else? But Ali, he gave up. He said, you know, that's it. You get the message. You know, it doesn't have to be the most beloved one to be sent a mission. The point I want to take from this istinbat, that is, or drawing an, you know, understanding, that Rasulullah said, I love Aisha publicly. You know, and maybe in some culture, if you said, I love my wife, look at this man, you know. But our children learn from us. Love is a learning behavior. Do you know that? It's not only a feeling, but it's a learning behavior. If our children see us love each other, they start loving us and love one another. Shouting, screaming, create animosity in the household. Kind words and kind treatment rewarded from your spouse in this life, you get treatment back, more likely, but more importantly, being rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing you do good is not being compensated. Allah said in the Quran, لا يضيع عمل عامل منكم من ذكر أو أنثى. Anything that we do good, whether we're male or female, it will not go to waste. Therefore, do a lot of it for your own akhirah, for our own akhirah. People have easy out. Divorce is just easy out. People like to get divorced quickly. Loyalty to the marriage, supposed to be, people do their best to stay in marriage. Okay? It should be last resort. As I said before, setting the example for the larger community as Muslims in our marriages. By the way, there's no life with no challenge. Do you think that every one of you have any life with no challenge? You didn't go through any obstacles in your marriage, in your schooling, in your work? None of you have a life free of obstacles. Anyone have life free of obstacles? Raise your hand so we can talk to you. No obstacles? No challenge? Challenge and obstacles in marriage supposed to represent an opportunity. Say that my wife and I have misunderstanding. That misunderstanding might evolve to something greater, better, that we come to know something that we didn't know before. You know, use that as an opportunity. I'll give you an example. Ali radiallahu anhu, Fatima radiallahu anhu had a fight. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine Ali radiallahu anhu has a fight with Fatima radiallahu anha? And Ali radiallahu anhu, he left home and he started sleeping in the masjid. Rasulullah called him and said, what's happening? He took Ali radiallahu anhu from his hand. And he took Fatima radiallahu anha from her hand. He said, show me firashukum, where is your bedroom? They show him the firash. You have Ali radiallahu anhu, one side, Fatima in one side. He took the hand of Fatima radiallahu anha, the hand of Ali, put them both in his chest. He put his both hand in the both hands of the both of them. And he made dua, 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 and dua, and then he released his hand and get up and left. It's spiritual counseling, heavy dose. And from whom? From the one who is the rahma lil alameen. He speak mercy, he walk mercy, he talk mercy, rahma. And you get, you know, that dose of rahma. What happened? Ali radiallahu anhu said, things just, you know, like you have some cloud, and it's a kind of ill feelings and yani, after the session, it's not like Muhammad Majid, the couple have to come 3-4 sessions. One session did it. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But Ali radiallahu anhu said, that problem he has with Fatima represented an opportunity for what? The dua for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If it wasn't of that fight, would the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam have them have that comfort and holding their hands and making the dua for it? He said he cannot think of anything, best things happen in his marriage more than Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam being in his bedroom and holding the hand of both of them. Therefore, sometimes difficulties can bring people together, closer to each other, if they think rightly of it. Difficult time can make people get closer. Therefore, that's the things that I want to mention to you here about this. And you can read the rest. Okay, I talk too much. I have to stop because I feel tired now, seriously, of talking. Read the rest, discuss it among yourself. Next week, we can talk more about it. But I would like to, meaning the summary, have the summary. But I'm going to tell you, this is an introduction to series of sessions that we're going to have every other Sunday in Adam Center. And inshallah, it's meant to improve in our relationship. We're going to title it, each session will have a special title so that you come with one understanding rather than having me giving you all of this summary. But you can read the rest here. I don't have to elaborate on every one of them because otherwise it would be too long session. Any questions about this? Do the exercise in here, inshallah. Okay, now I want to ask you a question to just sum up this sessions. What do you think? The most common problem that lead divorce, leading lead of divorce in Muslim community? Yes.
Domestic violence.
Domestic violence.
Not married for the right reasons.
Not married for the right reason. That's good, guys, you're really hitting the nail on the head, yes. Miscommunication. What else? Abuse. He said domestic violence and abuse. What else? Fighting over money.
People put it up different in the marriage. They take it for granted.
Take it for granted. Don't put any effort into it. Marriage is not an estate status, but it's everyday work. It's not a piece of paper that you get from the Fairfax County. Say that you're married. Oh, subhanAllah, I am. It's everyday business units. You know, every day you wake up in the morning, you are married. You know, that means there's certain things you have to do as spouse, as husband and wife. Other things? I'm gonna pick up on you, Rahluma, don't laugh. Okay, what else? No? Okay, good. Yes. No. That's excellent. Some people believe that if you get married, you get distracted from fulfilling your da'wah, your deen. Rasulullah said marriages have your deen. No matter what you do, you're walking with a half. You know, you need to have another half. Therefore, you know, in order for you to increase your deen, you need to get married. And some people think that delaying marriage, you know, it make you, you know, you want to live your life, free life, and those kind of things. You know, it is a mistake, by the way. I think getting married as soon as you can is the best thing you can do if you can afford it. I'm talking to male. Do not believe that all the sisters are going to wait for you, you are the this and that. You're going to miss some opportunities, brothers. Okay, therefore, it is important for you to think about marriage and do not think about, you know, some people make examples, said, brother, Ibn Taymiyyah didn't get married. Yeah, Ibn Taymiyyah is not Rasulullah Sallam. I said, Rasulullah Sallam get married. You follow Rasulullah Sallam or Ibn Taymiyyah? Don't make me Ibn Taymiyyah as a model and example. He didn't get married because he didn't have time to get married. He was in the prison all the time. Okay? Therefore, this kind of examples, make Rasulullah Sallam. Don't look anywhere. Rasulullah Sallam said, An-nikahu sunnati. Marriage is my sunnah. فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّةِ فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. Whoever does other than my sunnah is not part of me. Period. They don't apply this kind of things. Therefore, it's good things you brought that because you need to straighten up the young people. So, you know. And people sometimes are afraid to get married. They get afraid. Brother, I don't know. Grow up. Get married. You are a child until you get married. Don't get scared of it, you know? And that's the whole session. By the way, we're gonna do session only for young people. I'm gonna kick out all married people and just gonna have a conversation, a heated conversation, inshallah, with the young people in that room or downstairs at the Adam Center. We're gonna have a session, what you look for in a spouse, and is it the time for you to get married? If it's not, think about it. Yes?
In that session, you can separate brothers and sisters.
What?
Private, just brothers.
Oh, okay, don't worry about it. We'll do it in the proper way, inshallah. Okay, jazakumullah khair. Maybe next time, inshallah, we'll do this introduction, ta'aruf, inshallah, before the class. Assalamu alaikum.